Ice House Radio presents The Unexpected Theory, Northern California. The Unexpected Theory is an audio service brought to you by Icon Committee Entertainment. Some rights reserved under Creative Commons license.
Today's session, we're going to cover adulting and getting grown. As I go ahead and use my exclamation of, what the fuck was I thinking?
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Please, please bring the heat.
Make the next nobody, I'm the first in place.
Mix it non-stop.
Non-stop.
Tearing up the joint live.
Thank you. And again, what's good, everybody? It's your girl, M. Blaze, and welcome to The Unexpected Theory, where you can expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll go ahead and discuss the pretty and the ugly of all things pertaining to life, adulting, self-awareness, all while celebrating our small victories along the way. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome you to The Unexpected Theory. Now, I know a lot of you may not really know exactly who M. Blaze was, I should say, as a kid. So I'm going to just throw y'all a little tidbit, you know what I'm saying? Throw a little lifeline out there. And today I have one of my lifelines with me. Danaya Three Stacks, everybody. Woo!
What's good?
Yo, Danaya Three Stacks, this is my cousin, this is my best friend, this is one of my very, very utilized, I want to say overutilized lifelines throughout my life.
It's okay, I'm always here. That's my job.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you. Today, I'm gonna just be honest with y'all. I did not prepare for today's show in light of coronavirus and all that. I was kind of like on the fence of whether or not I was even gonna do a show this week, but I'm like, hey, what the hell? I'm out of work. I'm in the house. Might as well, right? So,
Might as well.
So I called up my cousin, was like, cuz, and she at work right now, y'all. I'm like, cuz, you want to do a show? And true Three Stacks fashion, she like, shit, let's go. And so here we
are. Let's do it.
Exactly. So in light of adulting and the topic of discussion being, I can't wait till I'm grown, to now that I'm grown, what the hell was I thinking?
That's, you know, I really do think it was the lights, it was the deception, it was everything that we didn't see. We always forgot as a child. Our parents told us to stay in a child's place. When that took place, there was a lot behind the scenes that we missed. So we only got to see the forefront, and that's what we were in the rush for.
Exactly.
When we got to the forefront, we finally made it to behind the scenes, and boy, were we not ready.
And I remember some of the small convos that I used to have with my mama and the ton of shitload of no's that she used to give me when it came down to, mama, can I go out here and play? You know, can I stay out a little bit longer? And it's already like 8 o'clock at night, and we in the manor, and she like, no. And I'm like, damn, I can't wait till I get older so I can stay out longer. Or, mama, can I go ahead and spend a night at my boyfriend's house?
That was a good one.
And she was like, hell no. And I was like, man, I can't wait till I get older so I can go ahead and get me my own apartment. Y'all just don't even know.
And what happened after you got that apartment?
Oh, well, let's just say for right now, the story will continue.
Can you hear it?
And so with that continuation, when I got that apartment, how old was I, Danae? I was like 19, 20?
You're really young. I'm maybe about 19.
Okay, when I got my first apartment, it was in Antioch. And, you know, I had one of the, I want to say it was the most trying, but more of the most triumphant times in my life in that one-bedroom apartment in Antioch. Shout out to Oakwood Village, because they gave your girl a shot, and they gave me an apartment, honey. And yeah, initially it was with my little boyfriend or whatever, but, you know, once that ended, I was good on my own. And getting grown in that apartment. Listen, if I didn't know anything then, I definitely know it now. A heavy part of getting that apartment, I mean, like, I knew I was going to have to pay bills. You know, I knew I was going to have to pay rent. I knew I was still going to have to go to work. So this is how it all panned out for me. I was about 19, 20 years old when I got my first place. I was working full time security at Hilltop Mall in Richmond and going to school full time at Contra Costa and still having to travel and commute back and forth from Richmond to Antioch about 7 days a week. That shit was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And especially for me having to be so young. I still don't quite understand how I did it, but then again, I do, because when you introduced me to Zoe, and Zoe living right across the street from Contra Costa College, that worked that worked out more towards my benefit than anything, because he knew I wasn't.
That's another testament of your cousin having your back,
girl. For real. Because Zoe lived right across the street from the college that we was going to. He knew I had a far ways to go. So in between me having to leave my house at 4:00 in the morning for me to be on campus by 6:30, because I was writing for the school newspaper, Zoe knew I wasn't going to be eating no food or breakfast or anything like that. So he had called me and be like, sis, you out here yet? All right, come eat something before you go to class. And when I got out of school, come eat and then you can go to work. So he was more so like big brother, making sure that I eat while I'm doing all this strenuous ass work while, you know, going to school and going to job and working my job from like 8 to 9 hours a day. And then having to,
you know,
get
what's
off.
Really funny about that situation, though, I had no idea that all of this was going on.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I mean, maybe he might have mentioned it to me, I don't know, maybe once or twice, but, you know, my brain just turns into mush after a while, so I don't remember much. Yeah. But I really didn't know support system for you like that. That's really good. That's really great.
Man, if it wasn't for Zoe, man, shout outs to my big brother Zoe. If it wasn't for you, Brody, I don't know how I would have did it. And so that was my first step into adulting. When I had to get my place, when I found out that I couldn't just not work when I didn't want to go in. I couldn't just not go to school when I didn't feel like going to school because I had my grades to obtain and to sustain and maintain. I had to maintain my lifestyle that I had then created. Which was hard as shit, because again, I wanted to be with y'all niggas. I wanted to be out all night. I wanted to be, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to go out when y'all went out. I wanted to, you know, be up late all night and I just couldn't do it because I had to drive all the way back to Antioch. So
look how far that got us.
Yeah, it did.
Absolutely nowhere.
It really did.
Absolutely.
Man, I mean, but for a lot of y'all, like, I can say it probably took a little bit longer. However, we are here. We have arrived. We are now in this space where, you know, we have all embarking on our own life journeys. You know what I'm saying? But we're doing it the best that we can. And so the main thing that I wanted to just make sure that, you know, even if we don't talk every day, I'm proud of you. I see everything that you're doing over there at Three Stacks. I'm super, super, super duper proud that you are maintaining your mental health, your overall health, as hard as it may be. And I know it's not perfect over there. But somebody, if nobody told you today, B, I'm proud of you.
I needed to hear that. You know, it gets rough. We all got to be each other.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing with you. It's really the same thing with you. You know, we were just talking about this at my house. We're very proud of you maintaining this podcast and saying that, you know, it was something that you wanted to do and you didn't wait on it. You just did it. You know, we were talking about, like, yeah, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to start a blog, we're going to do this, and blah, blah, blah. None of us made steps to actually go and do what we said we wanted to do. But you just did it. So, I mean, kudos to you.
No doubts. I appreciate that because it's, you know, every day and every week is a struggle. I try, you know, there's this whole thing, there's this whole stigma in the podcast community that, well, not is outside of the podcast community, like everything that you do, it's like, it's super fucking easy. You know what I'm saying? Like all you got to do is get a, I mean, today, let me take a step back. It's easy for you to start. However, the production aspect of it, and if you really care about the quality of your show, it is not easy. And for a lot of these podcasters, they have 1, 2, maybe 3 different hosts on the show, but that's 3 different brains to help curate and come up with different topic ideas and, you know, show notes and, you know, media postings and shit like that. But for somebody like me that's doing all of this shit by themselves and still got kids to raise at home, if they're not raised, you know, raising havoc and working a 9-hour shift every day, like, it's a lot. But I can say that I'm proud of myself for, you know, still pushing through it, because the number one thing, the easy thing to do is start. I mean, it can be, but for me, the easiest thing for me to do was to start. But I want to be able to practice being consistent. And I know, as far as for me, like, losing weight and shit like that as an adult, that's the number one thing for me that's been like the problem, is being consistent. So as far as you though, you know, Danae, you might have a different outcome or a different story. So for a lot of the people who may not know you, give us a little background.
Oh goodness. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. let me see a little bit of background. I was sheltered as a child. I had no idea that I grew up in the hood until I got to high school when my friends told. Or I think you were the first person that told me, like, cuz you live in the hood. I'm like, real? Like, I had no idea. I had no clue. So, and that's kind of the basis of how my life went. I didn't start working until I was like in my 20s. I didn't get my license until I was in my 20s. I really didn't start taking care of myself until I was in my 20s, because my mother didn't know how to cut that umbilical cord. And for my entire life, I felt like I had been, like, fighting her to, like, I'm pulling one side, she's pulling the other side, and no one in the middle is cutting. And it's just driving me nuts. Until finally got to a point in my life to where I had to cut it myself. I said, you know, there are a lot of things that at some point, when you have a controlling parent and a very strict parent, and I understand, it took for me to kind of get out into the world and kind of learn how to live as an adult to really understand my mother and a lot of her crazy antics, because it was, to me, I just thought that she needed to be in a mental asylum. Like, seriously, for a very long time, I would tell And she is struggling with things that I can't help her with. She needs, like, professional help, which is still true, but she's gotten a lot better.
Oh, my God.
It's true, but she has really gotten a lot better, and she herself has even admitted to it. You know, maybe I should go see a therapist. Therapy is not bad, but that's beside the point. It's not. And that's the stigma in the Black community where, you know, they think therapy is bad. You should need help to talk to people, to talk to someone about your life. That's not true.
Right.
We're a lot of each other's own therapists, but that's a whole different topic. Mm-hmm. So just to stay on board. So that was that. And, you know, learning how to deal with that. And then I had an absent parent, of course, you know, everyone said, so my dad wasn't in my life, but I had a stepdad that raised me and he gave me that love that I was missing. And in turn, it really kind of molded my character. It did a lot for me to have that in the household, to have that, even though he wasn't my father, blood couldn't make us closer, because even to this day, there's anything going wrong with my car, if I need any, you know, man's advice, I go to my dad, mm-hmm. you know, and which is awesome. A lot of people, they're not fortunate enough to have that dad who's gone. That was it.
Amen.
So I'm very fortunate.
Shout outs to Marcel, man. Shout outs to you, cause
he's the real MVP.
Hey, for real, cause he had to put up a whole bunch of shit.
I mean, can you imagine? Here's the thing. My mom is 4 years older than him, right? So we're just going to look at his life real quick, because this is a pretty interesting story. My mom was 26 when they met. Real quick, my mom was 26, he was 22. And then she's got this at the time, I think I was like two. She had a two-year-old chatty little thing. I just won't shut up. You know? And she's real vibrant and full of life and nosy and smart. And she's got a lot of common sense, and you just don't know how to talk to a child that you can't lie to. Because essentially, in adult life, we tell our kids lies to kind of, you know, shield them from a lot of things. And it's not like we do it on purpose.
And soften
them. It's not like
we deem it as protecting them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when you have a two-year-old that can tell you why you're wrong? But can you do? That's kind of where my stepdad was at. He tried to tell me, we went to go see Power Rangers on Ice. I told him, you know, there's one president, there's one Easter Bunny, there's one Pink Ranger. That's not the Pink Ranger on stage, but it's entertaining. Now, this is a three-year-old telling this to an adult. That was the type of child that I was. So my stepdad, he went through a lot. He really, when my granddad didn't like him, they called him that 22-year-old nigga for years. He did not earn my granddad's respect up until a year before my granddad passed.
Wow. Come on, Chooch. And then,
but Chooch was a tough one. You know, he was a tough one. He didn't take no shit. He wasn't around no poop blood ass niggas. He didn't want none of that around his kids. So he's coming into this situation with this woman and chatty kid, and he persevered. And like I said, he was 22. Yeah, think about it, 22 years old. He was a child.
Yeah.
He was really a child, and he stepped up. And I will always forever be grateful. Just on GPL, I'll always forever be grateful. And that really shaped the character of the person. It helped shape the character of the person that I am today. And it's helped me grasp adulting life in a way that I don't go nuts. Because I already have, and this is something that we haven't talked about with a lot of young women in Black communities. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have really bad anxiety, but we don't know how to
cope.
Not necessarily how to cope, just to recognize that we have it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anxiety is when, like perfect example. When we're in because we grew up in an urban environment. Mm-hmm. When we would see fights and we would see girls, you know, shaking and huffing and puffing and getting real mad, that's anxiety. It wasn't anger. It wasn't hostility. It was in a lot of ways. And I don't know if you remember, a lot of girls would say, you know, I would cry because I didn't want to hurt that person. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I know you heard that before. I would cry because I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do that. And they're holding it back. And a lot of that is anxiety. And we don't understand how to acknowledge that that's what it is.
Or what it looks like.
Growing up, exactly.
It looks different on everybody.
What it looks like. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with anxiety. I had really bad anxiety as a kid. And you understand. And so when you kind of go down someone's lifeline and you can really kind of pinpoint exactly kind of what scenarios in their life really shaped who they are. And so that's kind of, a little bit of my background. My grandmother was a hippie. My grandfather was hardcore, R&B, soul, hip hop. My grandmother's AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, little country, little rock. My mom was jazz. Kenny G, all that shit. So I got a little bit of everything from everyone in my family. And I'm so forever grateful because it helped make you a well-rounded individual. I can get along with pretty much anybody because my entire life I have been trained to look at people and not the outside. I have, I've learned how to see what they have in their heart, not what's on the outside of them. So I'm always forever be able to do that. Now, when we talk about adulting, whoever said that this shit was okay? That being an adult is okay.
Oh no, she said it. That part.
Help me out on this. Why? Why is this okay?
And I totally back you up on that. Like completely. And a lot of it was simply because my background is a lot more, it's quite similar to yours, as you already know. But for those who don't, I lost my mother when I was 6 years old. My dad wasn't involved in my life. And I was raised by my aunt and my uncle. Shout outs to, my daddy, Joe Mo, and my mama, Linda Faye Davis Mo. You know what I mean? Y'all the real MVPs. R.I.P. most definitely. And I want to say that I was sheltered. I mean, I definitely was. And then I was the youngest of four, at five, including me. But I have four older siblings. And by the time I was coming up, everybody else was already out the house. So it was more like it was just me majority of the time. I'm glad that my sister can tell me nowadays that I wasn't a bad kid. And I, looking at how my niece is treating her right now, she's like, I never had these issues with you. So I'm like, in a sense, that really makes me feel good because I literally tried everything in my possible way to make sure that I did not get in trouble or that I did not give my parents, too hard of a time. And then let's just be clear. I hated getting in trouble. I didn't like when my mom and daddy was mad at me or they didn't like me because of something that I did or did not do. You know what I'm saying? Like I want y'all to love me. I don't want you to raise your belt at me at all.
I don't want to interject, but I think you're kind of downplaying your situation. You were kind of like the star pupil. Everybody wished that they could have had you as a kid. And I'll tell you why. Because yeah, girl, I'm going to tell you why. Even my mama. She was tired of my grandparents. She wanted to throw me out to the woods. She didn't know what the fuck to do. She had to put it in. She was crying. She was so, my mom had had it. But what she didn't understand was, I was a free-spirited child. And my mother didn't know how to handle that because she didn't want to let go. Like I said, it wasn't up until I cut the umbilical cord myself at 24 or 25. And I just said, that's enough. Enough is enough. Mm-hmm. But you were a great child. Now this is why I say you're downplaying it because you failed to mention that. Number one, you graduated a year early. You always had good grades. Always. Star cheerleader. Star. always had fucking enthusiasm. Always had team spirit and go this and go that one, do this and jumping on everybody and always excited. The motherfuckers that came to school in their night clothes and falling asleep in their first class, like, leave me the fuck alone. was me.
Oh my God.
I really think you're kind of downplaying it a little bit.
Well, I mean, everybody's like interpretation of me, I don't know, because I haven't really, and this is kind of like the reason why I wanted to like have more people that know me on the show, because everybody has a different story, everybody has different interpretations, and granted, for the ones that I have heard, they're quite similar to how I come off to people. I know how I come off to people, but it's interesting to hear how other people perceive me and receive me. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you've been by my side like my whole year or decade through 20s and till now, but we were like literally stuck.
Attached
at the hip.
Stuck. You were the one that brought me out of my deep depression.
Oh man.
You did. You remember when it was right after my grandfather passed, because Uncle Pop passed in April and Chooch passed in September of that year, and I wouldn't leave my room. And you and I don't want to say her government name because I know she'd be mad at me every time I say her name.
Talking
about.
Say it.
No, I ain't gonna do it like that.
All right, it's all good.
That's what I'm talking about. So y'all came over and you literally dragged me out of my bed because I wouldn't get out, and he was like, Nene, enough is enough. This is enough. You need to get the fuck out the house right now. And I was just like, no. Because y'all didn't know I was abusing prescription pills at that time. I was really fucked up at that time. And nobody knew. The only one that found out was my granny. And she pulled me to the side and told me, either you can fix it or I can fix it. So you make the choice.
You don't and want I me fix to fix it.
Hell no. I was like, hell no, girl. I got this. I'm going to keep my shit together. I promise. And I did. From that day forward, I got my shit together. I was scared of my granny.
Right?
But you and Ranisha came and pulled me out of my bed. Do you remember she grabbed my legs and she grabbed my
grabbed
shoulders?
The arm? Oh, yeah. And we literally dropped your ass as you got off the bed. That was funny. It was funny, but it wasn't funny. But it was funny because we had to do something. It was drastic times for drastic measures.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people don't have that. You are the type of person that has that in you that can see a situation when you need to interject yourself and not okay. And I won't allow this to go to continue. Because if you didn't do that for me, only God knows where I would be at right now. Just realistically, I probably would have spiraled out of control. You know, yeah. And like I said, you know, that's one of those situations where I'm forever grateful. Forever grateful that you pulled me out of that because I was just stuck.
Oh. Well, I mean, and in return, you know, you did the same for me when my daddy died. So, God, I don't even think that, like, that whole the whole 2 years was a legit blur. I know I was probably took like 6 months. I had dropped over 70 pounds. From his funeral.
You was in the best shape of your life?
I was in the best shape of my life. That was, oh, God. I wish I could go back to that. I really, truly do. And I mentioned this on last week's show that, you know, in light of, like, my body consciousness and my insecurities, for me to have went from, I think I was probably the heaviest I had ever been. I think I was touching on a good 270 or so. And I still have the pictures, but then I had dropped down. I think I was like a good 180, and I could go into the mall.
For perspective, before you finish, you need to tell your height.
Oh, okay. So, I'm 5'9", maybe 5'9 and a half. Where I am right now, if you guys look at my Instagram pictures, I did a whole little in-home photo shoot. Right now, as I stand soaking wet, I'm about a good 256. So like a good 30 pounds more than what I am now is me at my heaviest. So imagine I'll go ahead and transcend to posting a throwback picture of what I look like at that 180, and then what I look like at 210, which I'm trying to get back to. But I was able to go into the mall. I was able to go into any store, and if I seen something on a mannequin, I was like, okay, I just want to try that on. If it was a large, I was in there like swimwear. I ain't never been able to do that before. So that excited me. And, you know, here's the thing. Even when I was at my smallest, I still wasn't satisfied. I was still trying to find ways to lose more weight, because no matter where I was physically, I still only saw my own perception of me. So I think I'm just to the point now where I'll never be completely satisfied with my physical appearance, but I'm working on that, because again, that just goes back to making my brain my bitch. So I need to get a hold of my mental and, you know, how I view myself and what I see when I look at Emblaze in the mirror. So, you know, that's some work that I'm doing on myself right now, but just, you know, those were good times. Those were good times. And oh yes, I had some great times in that body. Had some great times in my body, and then I actually experienced my whole days and my whole phases in that body. So
I think we all go through that, where we kind of figure out exactly what it is that we wanted. And unfortunately, you know, that's another thing that goes into, you know, back to adulting. Mm-hmm. We have transitioned from our irresponsible 20s into now we're like real adult 30. Like 21, you're still basically a kid. You're just legal to drink.
Yeah.
But once you get out of that irresponsible 20s phase and you transition into like, okay, I'm 30, I'm an adult. Like, if I fuck up now, I can lose everything.
Pretty much. If I miss too many days of work, oh, my whole check gonna fuck up. Oh man, I'm gonna have enough to pay this bill, but I ain't gonna have enough to put this in the house, or that's gonna have to go without. I might have to have my phone cut off 1 month. You know, it's like all of these different things that now come into play. Now, when it comes down to adulting and our parentals aiding us, I mean, thank God you're blessed enough to still have, you know, your parents around to ask these questions. But I had wrote down a few questions that I wish I could have asked my mom about adulting before she left me. And it was, why do I buy from the grocery store? How am I really supposed to cook chicken? Because for those who don't know, I didn't learn how to cook till I got with my baby daddy. And that was like 2011. So you do the math. I've literally only been cooking for a little under 10 years. So I haven't really had, you know, the experiences, you know, yeah, a lot of my life I went through having cooked for me, like you. I used to go to Danae's house, y'all. I used to go to her house and be like, I'm hungry, what you cooking? And she would literally have to get up and go and cook me something. She'd be like, oh, there's some cereal in there, but I'm not eating no damn cereal. I could have ate that at home. I came over here for some home cooked food. Like, don't do me like this.
And we really thought that me making souped up ramen noodles was the shit.
It was. It was then. And then, you know, like when it came down to like doing my laundry and stuff, like it's a lot of questions that I could probably ask my sister now. But, you know, in the respect of having my mom around and stuff like that, do I really need to separate my whites from my darks? And when I do laundry, and then like, how often am I supposed to do the dishes? Like, I think I have a cold. Mama, what do I do? How do I mop the floor? Can you microwave meat? Like, how does it really defrost when you put it in the microwave? Like, is it okay if I live off macaroni and cheese out the box because I don't know how to cook? Like, it's a whole bunch of shit that really is like, people might be looking at me like, are you serious right now? But like, hell yeah, I'm serious. Like, I literally, I legit wrote down a list of questions that I would ask my mama if she was here today. Like, because I didn't get a chance to ask these questions. Like, I don't like my mayor of the city of San Leandro. What should I do to change it? Who is the right person for me to be able to contact? Should I write a letter like in White Chicks? I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to have a bitch fit. Like, does that really work in my society? Or is that just...
You already know. My mother is the queen of writing letters. Okay? She will write you a letter so hard. Man. And you looking like, from the hood, why is your vocabulary this good?
Listen, like, for real. Man, it's called a thesaurus. Like, get it together.
My mom doesn't play this game. She should have been a lawyer. Like, real talk.
Man. And,
you know, those questions that you have your mom that you want to ask your mom, like you said, ask your sister. Because I ask my mom those same questions. Do you know what she tells me?
No.
You really want to know what she tells me?
Yeah, what did she tell you?
Then figure it out. You're an adult. I'm like, well, really? And then I call her for every convenience in my life.
I mean, and that's right now, like, I just feel like that's just a privilege that you have, like, to be able to call your mama for the stupidest things and for her to be able to give you that response. Then, yeah, you're an adult, figure it out. Like, I wish I could ask my mama, like, hey, mom, what time does the mail run? And I'm all the way in a whole nother city, and she just like, I don't know you. You know, like, can I just drop out of college and become a stripper? I just want to know what her response would be.
You know you're an adult when you're like, damn, can I strip? Am I too old to strip? Or
am I too old to...
Like, oh my God. I've been listening to Boosie on my way to my 9-to-5. Like, damn, I could just sell some dope real quick.
Girl, like, I'm 31. I'm looking for a sugar daddy. Am I too old to be a sugar baby? Like, what is going on?
Like, what's the
limit? What's the requirements? What's the limitations on that? Did I pass the statute of limitations for a sugar daddy? Am I too late?
Is it too late to ask for a stimulus package from a man with the money?
Listen, all I want is your pension. Oh my God. Do they even give pensions anymore? I just can't. I can't.
That's what adulting looks like for us right now.
Pretty much. And then it's not just that, but the countless of responsibilities that we now have, right? From when I first started off, I was 15 when I got my first job. And, you know, just to go to school and good grades was the easiest job that I ever had to do. I didn't have to cook, but I always made sure that my chores were done. My room was clean. I didn't have other people depending on me. And there were no major responsibilities that I had to take heed to. And so that right there, my friends, is what I call adulting, like the dependent part. I was a stepmom, at the age of 22. My baby daddy has a daughter, and at the time she was about 3. Right now she's 13. So, yeah, that was fun. And you know, now I'm raising an 8-year-old that we've had in the family since she was 8 days old. And I have my own biological child who is about to be 4 in July already. I don't know where the time is going. It's really making me sad. Yeah. Yeah. Mayani will be 4 years old, July 7th. And it's like, it just happened yesterday. Hey y'all. And Danae was there holding my leg while I was in labor, pushing her out and everything.
Oh God, I was having an anxiety attack holding your leg. Are you out?
Oh man.
But I had anxiety and stress. I was sweating harder than you were.
And I said I'm gonna do a whole session, like, you know, and I'm gonna call it Too Hard to Bear, B-A-R-E, you know, talking about childbirth and my whole experience through pregnancy and everything like that. So for the men who typically tune in, you might not want to, you know, tune in, but then you just might, because I'm going to have my baby daddy on here too, so you can get his experience from it. So that should be a fun show. Oh, man.
And not all of that, to get the woman's perspective, so you can really understand what your woman is going through.
Yeah, from like legit. Kind of biased, but non-biased, because I don't know your woman or your lady who may be expecting or already, you know, popped one out for you. But yeah, these are the things that we have to go through. The working 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 even jobs tirelessly, where you don't have the time to really enjoy your life or the fruits of your labor, the sacrifices that come insurmountable and at such a rapid speed, and the thought of failure. Come on, like at now, like right now at the age of 31, the thought of failure, it's like no longer a fear at this point, because you just can't even have an option. Like, fear is not an option at this point, because you have now entered into a world where everything that just was, and where it was just you, no longer exists. And the people they're like, the people that you have in your life are now depending upon you, and you have to do what needs to be done because they have no other means of doing so, i.e. the dependents. And then you just have no fucking choice. You have no choice in the matter anymore. It's like, either you're going to get up an adult today, or, you know, you're just going to be homeless tomorrow.
That's very true. And, you know, I don't have any dependents, but my boyfriend's got 2 kids, and they're just the awesomest kids ever. I really can honestly say I got so lucky that they're so easy to deal with. I couldn't ask for a better set of kids. Like, I'm so grateful that they allowed me into their life the way that they have, just because my personal experiences with my dad's girlfriends, I was never nice. I was never understanding, never the type of person, never the type of child to where you could just sit down and talk to and be like, hey, you know, this is what I'm going through, and I hope you understand. And I just never even opened up that door for anyone, just because of the relationship that me and him had. But that's a whole different story, you know. So, like I said, I'm really forever grateful for them allowing me to be in their lives. But at the same time, you know, for me, adulting, even though it's just me, essentially, it's just me and my dog, I feel like I still have a lot of responsibilities to maintain, just to be able to maintain. Like you said, you know, getting it, that's half the battle. Oh, my dog, yeah, I'm a proud pet parent.
Yeah, I mean, Bree going through it right now. Shout outs to my best friend Bree. You know what I'm saying? She out there in Texas with her little puppy dog, her son. That's my nephew, y'all. It's my godson. Yeah, until she really pop one out for me. Yeah, that's my nephew, my godson. That's her dependent. You know what I'm saying? However you want to look at it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a child. A dependent is anyone who you take care of or anything that you take care of. And y'all got a shitload of pets over there. So, yeah.
Girl, I mean, you know, just getting my dog off to the sitters alone is tough. Because in the morning, my dog acts like a human being. He thinks he's a human being. Sometimes he even talks to me like he's a human being. I'll sit there, I'll ask him a question, and he'll stop and he'll growl at me like he understood exactly what the hell I just told him.
Wow.
With
crazy.
That being said, you know, the whole morning routine of, I'm always running late for work, so I gotta rush and try and like you said, with the whole dishes thing, I mean, I am the worst. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm a terrible person. Because my boyfriend, he'll cook dinner, and I won't wash dishes for like a few days later. And he looks at me like, can you help? Like, I work 14 hours a day. Like, how much help can I possibly be to anybody at this point?
Girl, and I be feeling like that too, just my job overall, in the situationship that I'm in, just because it's up to me to get the girls, you know, prepped and groomed and making sure that their hair is whipped and making sure that my hair is whipped, because I can't be going out looking a mess. My daughter won't allow it. Simply like, mommy, your hair needs to be done. If I'm just in the house and not even expecting to go anywhere, she will let me have it. It's like, mommy, why your hair not done? You need to do your hair. And she'll tell me quick when I need to do hers. But when I tell her that I need to do her hair, no, I don't want to get my hair done. So it's an ever going fight for me. Like every morning I'm fighting with either her or the 8-year-old, or they're fighting with each other. And I'm having to go through that whole ordeal. And I'm having to separate one from using this bathroom. I'm like, one person go in that bathroom, the other person go in that bathroom. I don't want to hear shit else. And I just feel like every morning I'm the bad guy. Meanwhile, my baby daddy, he up and out the house already, you know, going to work. And then, you know, he got to deal with him when he picks him up from school and from daycare and stuff like that. And then when I get home at 7 o'clock at night, he waiting on me like, all right, it's time to cook. How fair is that?
That's a lot.
Like, I literally just got home. And I'm like, you've been here longer than I have. You could have went ahead and, you know, got something started. Granted, a lot of the times he does, you know what I'm saying? Majority of the times he does, he will go ahead and cook and I won't have to worry about it. And when I come home, he'll be like, your plate's in the microwave, or I'm getting home just in time for, you know, me to just go ahead and make the plates and then everybody can eat. So I appreciate that when that's done. But when dinner's not done and I come home and he like, all right, you ready to start cooking? I mean, we cook together, so it's not like it's just me by myself, but still, I'm just like, well, damn, like, I couldn't even kick my feet up for a minute. So,
about it.
My job never really stops. It never really ends. But now as we sit in this fear where we have to do what we hate to get what we want, and even then, you still may not get, you know, what it is that you're looking to get out of it, or while you're waiting to get to that thing that you want, while doing the thing that you hate, going to that job that you hate so much, you can then become so content in your misery, or content in the routine of where things are, from the things that you hate, because it's providing you a security blanket. Now, Danaya, what is your security blanket right now?
My security blanket right now for me, I can honestly say, is meditation. I try to not be able to sit down and you know, with my yoga mat and with my crystals and my candles and shit everywhere laid out, being able to really get center. I may not be able to lay out everything and get center the way that I want to, but I make sure that I set aside at least 15 to 20 minutes per day to make sure that I am centering myself, so I can balance the weight of my day and the weight of my life without losing my shit. Because, like I said, you know, with my experience, I lose it really, really quickly. So for me, it's really, really, really important to remember to take that 15 to 20 minutes out per day just to center myself. And sometimes it may even be a little longer. Sometimes I may have to do it once or twice a day. You know, it's always when in those moments where you feel those mini panic attacks and you feel like you're not going to be able to come back from that, that's when you pull aside that 15 to 20 minutes and you center yourself. You cannot allow yourself to lose it, because once you lose it, it's gone. Like, don't even try and bring it back. It's gone. Try again the next day. So before I even get to that point, my security blanket will always, and it'll always be my go-to, meditation.
I haven't learned how to meditate. I keep saying, I'm going to try to do it this time. I'm going to try to do it at this time in the morning. But it never really works. It never works. Because one, I'd be so dog-ass tired that by the time I set 3 alarms on my phone, this is how bad it is. I set 3 alarms. First alarm goes off, it's like 4:30 in the morning. I don't know why I even do that to myself, because I know I'm not going to get up at 4:30. The second alarm that goes off is the one that goes off at 5. That's 30 minutes after the one for 4:30, because now I know that once 5 o'clock hits, I got 30 more minutes before I have to go and wake up my kids and get them ready for the rest of their day. Then the last one goes off at 6 just because if I don't meet that 5:30 deadline, I got till 6 o'clock, and now I got to rush to get them ready and out the house by 7:15. But that's like the very last one. I want to be able to already be midway in and having them eaten before, you know, that 6 o'clock or that 6:30 alarm goes off. But I mean, I've tried the meditation. I don't know how. I don't know how to shut my brain off. I meditate while I'm still in bed with my eyes closed and the covers over my head. I want to hope. I want to say that that could possibly be it. But I don't really know if that's it either.
Your problem comes in where you're kind of looking at meditation like as something that you have to like do, you know, when no one else is around and when you're by yourself and when you have like dedicated long period of time. No, because for me, I meditate anywhere, in my car, when I'm at work, in the room with my dude, at the house with my dude. Like, it doesn't matter where you are. Meditation really, it's really just a matter of centering yourself. Because you won't, a lot of the times you won't be able to find the time to really shut off your brain and to allow those other vibrations to come in and to really kind of cleanse yourself. It's not always going to be as in depth. You know what I'm saying? There are levels to meditation. That's one thing you really got to understand. There are so many levels to meditation to where before you can even reach the highest level, which is understanding of meditation, you have to go through these trial and errors of really kind of figuring out exactly what it is that you're doing, why you're doing this, what is the purpose of this, what good is it going to cause me in my life? Like, you have to go through those motions. You have to go through those questions. And while you're taking this time out, the goal is not necessarily to shut your brain off, but to control it. You're, like you say, make your brain your goal of meditation is to really make your brain your bitch. That's really what you're trying to do. You're just trying to shut all of those other, because I mean, without sounding crazy, we all have other voices in our head that we hear that may not necessarily be our own. It may sound foreign. It may sound from, you know, somewhere else. It could be someone else's voice. I mean, we all hear that. We all hear those different thoughts. The idea of a quick meditation is to ground yourself and to allow one voice to control what's going on. That's the goal. And once you can get to a place where you're center, you're in control, you're not going to allow your emotions to allow you to spiral, then you can move forward. But I mean, that's the first main step, is just to kind of recognize exactly why you're doing it and what good it's going to bring to you. And then from there, you reach other levels of meditation. For me, I haven't gotten to a place where I have reached understanding. I feel like I have. I would like to think that I have, but I can honestly say that I have not, and I am aware of that. But ultimately, that is the goal. If I keep practicing, if I keep trying, if I keep giving myself that chance, eventually I will get there. But the problem with people that try to meditate for the first time, they feel like you're supposed to reach understanding your first meditation session, and that's never can.
Well,
don't put that type of pressure on yourself.
Well, I just want to say, just from you saying that, I know I can hear that you've come a long way. And I can personally say that because I personally know you. So, welcome to adulthood, Danaya.
Thanks.
Welcome to adulthood. And then for those who are just now tuning in, this has been a session on adulting and getting grown. Coming from, I can't wait till I'm grown, to getting grown, and boom, now you're an adult. What are you going to do about it? I have Danaya Three Stacks on the line, who has gracefully joined us today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know you got to get back into doing what you was doing earlier, and that's working in lieu of the coronavirus.
Say, call it what it is. It's work.
Yeah. But in lieu of coronavirus season, because we don't know how long this is going to be. Hopefully, you know, they'll find whatever it is that needs to be done. They'll do it. But, you know, I didn't want to leave y'all with just no show. I'm not over here sick or anything, so there was no, you know, logical reason as to why I couldn't produce a show today, so I went ahead and did this for you. And again, I want to say a special thank you to Danaya Three Stacks, my cousin, my best friend, my lifeline. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Unexpected Theory. And if y'all not, go ahead and make sure to follow her at, what's your at line?
Straight Chillin 22, STR8 Chillin 22.
There we go. And it's going to pop up as Angelique, but y'all know her as Danaya Three Stacks. Again, I just want to make sure that y'all go ahead and like, share, comment, subscribe, and review me. I'm doing everything in my power to bring y'all great shows. I'm just having fun with it. It's still something that is very, very new to me. But I'm hoping that y'all have a perfect takeaway from this. Not expecting too much, but hopefully you guys are taking something from the podcast. And if not, just go ahead and subscribe anyway. It's a good time. Again, thank you guys for tuning in. It's been real. It's your girl Lynn Blaze, and I'm signing out.
Hey, come back.
Yeah.